We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life.
Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Live in studio on an absolutely picture perfect Wednesday afternoon. Darren, how are you doing?
I have mixed feelings right now. Right now, I'm extremely tired, extremely sleepy. It got nothing to do with you or the show. Just I was literally talking to someone 10 minutes ago, and they were like, you just look like you're tired. And just the jet lag from D.C. finally hit me because I was on the plane for a number of hours traveling back. And knowing I'll be on the road tomorrow evening driving down to Nashville, this is the only city I'm driving to just because daughter goes down, and so just be able to be mobile and stuff. Even though we did buy our car, still going to be mobile and stuff because I'm going to want to do some stuff today. Ain't got nothing to do with what they got going on.
Casinos.
I don't think there's no casinos in Nashville that I'm aware of. But we are
country music.
No, I don't do that. But there are casinos in St. Louis on the way down there. So stopping in St. Louis tomorrow night, stay the night over, and then travel on to Nashville on Friday. Also, I felt like I had to kind of bigwig Vanderbilt. You know, she goes to school down there, so I put in her credential for the Mississippi State game on Saturday, because Mississippi State's a pretty good team this year, aren't they?
All right.
I mean, you know, for the most part, they're a pretty good team. So, put in for a credential, and they had denied. I was like, hold on, wait a second now. You don't deny me. So, I sent the SID an email like, yo, last time I came, I had covered the Titans and, you know, Vandy played the same weekend. Y'all took care of me. I'm like, then I had to pull that car. Like, you know, my daughter just run for you, right? The next thing I know, he's sending me an email. Hey, can you give me a call right quick? Call right before we come on air. You should be getting an email. Darren, you've been approved for credentials for the following game, Mississippi State, parking included. That's all I needed to hear.
You're good to go.
I'm good to go. And what makes everything about this trip worthwhile, I got my brother's permission to have my cheat meal this weekend. You know what that means?
What's that?
White Castles, baby.
I love White Castles.
White Castles driving through Columbia. White Castles driving through St. Louis. White Castles is a mile and a half from the stadium in Nashville. So I'm having White Castles every damn day. Now, I'm going to be going to the bathroom all the time, and I'm going to be working out like crazy, but I'm getting my White Castles fix this weekend.
You know what's great about St. Louis?
What's that?
That Luther Burden, number one wide receiver.
Who?
Luther Burden.
Who?
Number eight player in coming out of high school going into college football in 2022, committed to Mizzou over Alabama, over Georgia. He is staying home, going
first
to Mizzou.
First of all, how much did Mizzou offer him? Because
hey, they're allowed to now, baby.
Facts.
that joke's like, well, maybe they did, but see, this is great. East St. Louis, if Drinkwitz, if he wants to win and get Mizzou back to where it once was, consistent top 25 program with the occasional top five season, this is what needs to happen.
I'm not gonna poo-poo it. I mean, it's good. I'm gonna try to speak positive, as that K-State coach would say. For the media to speak positive, because these 18 to 22 year olds, they don't understand things. But I think it is good for the program, and I'm gonna be objective. I think it's good for Mizzou. Obviously, if you can get a high recruit, that means that puts them in the recruiting ball game, and perhaps he can be the linchpin that can help them bring in other star athletes and star players. Now, if I'm Luther, I'm hoping that, you know, they got some NIL stuff waiting for me.
Oh, you know they will.
Well, I don't know because there are some high school players that are already signing deals. So
sure.
I don't know whether or not he has something lined up or they can, you know, get a boost that has something lined up for which would be okay. But all in all, I think it's good for Dinkowitz or
Drinkwitz.
Drinkwitz. And in the program.
Yeah, this is the highest recruit Mizzou's gotten since Terry Beckner.
Sure.
Since Terry Beckner Jr. in 2015. Terry Beckner Jr. had a horrific car injury that shortened his career, took away about 2 years. He wasn't the same post, but Terry Beckner Jr. was obviously all SEC for a year or two. And then obviously Doriel Green Beckham. DGB, top wide receiver coming out, chose Mizzou. We all know what happened to him. He had some off-the-field issues, to put it mildly, and ended up going, I think, transferring to, Oklahoma State. Never played for them, and then got drafted to the NFL and flamed out. This guy seems to have a very good head on his shoulders. This guy seems to want it. He said all the right things. He said he didn't want to go to Bama, go to Georgia. He wants to basically start building this program back up. He wants to be part of that. You know how tough that is for 18 to 22-year-olds to say, I want to be part of something bigger. I don't want to just go to Alabama, go to Georgia. I want to be part of something bigger and build it back up. Because he can make a legacy at Mizzou. At Alabama or Georgia, you're just another five-star guy.
Well, yeah, but at least at Alabama, you can be a first-round draft pick coming out of there. I mean, and if you're that guy, especially if you're the number one guy, you go down there, you just prove you're the number one guy, The only thing I would question, and, look, this is just me as a competitor. If you're going down there, because, you look at Julio Jones and all these wide receivers that have come out of there. The reason why they're so good, they're so Devontae Smith, Waddle, all of them, is because they went up against each other, and they went up against the best on the other side. When you look at Trayvon Diggs, you look at Patrick Surtain, I mean, that's who you're going up against every day. So you're going up against other potential first-round draft picks to where they're going to bring the best out of you. So not only is it getting you prepared, especially when you know that Nick Saban has NFL-level coaching experience because he's coaching the NFL, so you know all his price and all this stuff is built to get you better to that next level. It's hard for me to see, it's hard for me to be seen – not going there.
I just think, to me though, if you're in the SEC on any school, you're on TV enough. If you perform, you'll get drafted. Mizzou's had so many draft picks, even at wide receiver. I mean, Jenario Alexander, Jeremy Maclin, ring a bell there. I mean, look at the quarterbacks. They have three backup quarterbacks in the NFL right now. They have three starting centers in the NFL right now. They have a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of defensive linemen, some cornerbacks. I mean, Mizzou's had some. If you perform at Mizzou, if you're at Alabama, Georgia, it doesn't matter. At this point, NFL scouts are so good. You're on TV so often, especially big-time games. If he performs, he'll be a first-round draft pick if he performs what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, but you also got to win, too.
Oh, you got to win. And I think it's the start. They have seven now, Mizzou, seven top 300 players in this 2022 draft, six more than last year.
But – again, not taking anything away from him. I still believe that's a good deal, big deal for Mizzou, and they should be applauded for it. So I'm not gonna poo-poo your school today. I think that's a great pickup. That's a great winner. Look, since we're already on this whole college football thing, I gotta get your thoughts. I came across an article where the gentleman that you thought was gonna win the Heisman Trophy, Spencer Rattler.
I don't know if I said that.
Before the season, yeah, that's who you had picked winning the Heisman, Spencer Rattler. You can go back and pull the tapes on that one.
I will, because I wasn't confident on anyone. I didn't.
You were confident on look. That's who you said who the better.
I know now what you're talking about. Yeah. I said if I had a pick, I'd probably go with Spencer Rattler.
Okay, well,
that's not me going. Spencer Rattler convictions, put money on it.
You were still wrong.
Sure.
But I said that to say that if you look at some of the articles, I guess he and Caleb Williams aren't supposedly close. I mean, look.
Oh, Spencer Rattler's transferring. Not a doubt in my mind he's there next year. Not a doubt in my mind is Spencer Rattler not, or does he stay at Oklahoma? That's not happening.
I will say, though, the good thing about Spencer is that hopefully he's deposited all those checks. And they haven't, to his credit, I don't think they've asked for those vehicles back. At Oklahoma,
yeah, the shirts he made, all those shirts. You think those are big sellers? Oh, he made some Spencer Rattler shirts. You know how Patrick Mahomes is like PM15.
Uh-huh.
Spencer Rattler tried doing something similar, and
they'll probably end up in a third world country.
And they might still be on the shelves. I don't have anything against Spencer Rattler. I know a lot of people dislike how he's handled everything, and I agree he's handled it a little bit
Well, a lot of people think he's got his comeuppance because I guess he was
he's
a star
cocky.
Of a Netflix.
Yeah.
And I'm not familiar with it. I guess he had his own Netflix series or something.
And apparently, and it was a lot of him yelling at players, his own teammates,
yeah.
and it wasn't a good look. You can do that if
I did see the clip. Yeah, that wasn't a good look because I think his backup was like, "Dude, why are you pooping like, dude? You supposed to be lifting me up." And I'm like, and he was just like. Yeah, I mean, he could have done it in my school because he'd had hands put on him. And so, you know, I'm not big on the bully stuff. I don't like bullies, and I don't like people really trying to talk down and degrade folks. So I didn't like that at all. So to say that what comes around goes around, you know, would be, you know, carte blanche for what he did on video that you saw is cool. But I don't know because you got something about it. Yeah, he can transfer and do whatever, but he comes off as not being a good teammate regardless.
Oh, his first round draft Tinder is shot. He might even get
– I don't think he comes out this year.
Oh, but, no chance now.
Well, I mean, he could, but I think even if he transfers, I think he can play himself back into a first round depending on where he goes and what happens.
Sure,
but
it's possible.
I just think that – You don't want to just like zero in off of a particular camera angle, or you know if they just you know take a glimpse of what he's doing on the sideline while Caleb is scoring a touchdown and he's just looking stoic on the sidelines because you're not. I don't want to say cheerleading. Well, I guess yeah. I mean your teammate. You know, I guess because you're not cheerleading and being rah rah and you know maybe trying to give him some advice or something. You really come off as petty, and you don't look like a good teammate. So, I don't know, even if he does transfer to another school, whether or not he can fix his image, because that's a bad image to have.
You can transfer. Jalen Hurts did it, and what happened to Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, but no.
His image got better.
But Jalen was never considered a bad teammate.
No, that's my point, though. If you handle things the right way, because you know Jalen was pissed when Tua got the starting job over him, right? You have to be upset when that happens. But what did Jalen do? He still was there. He still helped out.
Jalen stayed the very next year. I mean, he stayed for the full season and then helped that team win the SEC championship. I think it was against Georgia, to get them to the national playoffs. And, of course, Tua came back, and even though they lost to Clemson in the championship, I think it was the semi of the championship game that they lost to him, too. So, no, I mean, he did that. And then in that offseason, he transferred out. You know, but, again, he handled it the right way, but he also stayed that extra year as well. This guy, it doesn't seem like he's cut like that. It just seems like if he's not starting, he's going to take his ball and go elsewhere, which.
It's Ben Simmons.
No, it's not Ben. But, you know, I think we had this kind of, I think you might have told me because Oklahoma has this thing where they literally get all the number one ranked quarterbacks and they get them every year. And I'm like,
it's like every year they get and they just rotate whoever performs.
But it hadn't been every other year because Caleb came in this past season because he had, and then Rattler was started last. So
and Kyler Murray and then Baker Mayfield who was a transfer and then Kyler Murray I believe was a transfer as well.
Yeah,
they're just a quarterback factor. I don't know if it's the offense that they play in. If it's because they allow the quarterbacks to be the focal point. And they allow them to run everything. And it's a very NFL style.
Yeah, but what I can't understand, though, is if you're number one quarterback, why are you going to go to school where you're going to end up sitting on the bench for 2-3 years? Because
they're getting drafted. They're getting drafted first overall.
I get it, but it's you know, but you could also be like Jameis, you know, maybe redshirt start or be like Tua coming as a true freshman in the national title game. And
I think Bama's tough because Bama hasn't historically, especially recently, had a whole bunch of very successful NFL quarterbacks. Right, because they're not asked to do a lot at Alabama. They're asked to throw slants.
I mean,
passes and hand the ball off.
AJ McCarron was the most successful one there because I think he won 3 national titles.
But even he wasn't asked to do a ton.
No, I know because they were based more on run and defense. But and even to an extent, when Jalen Hurts was the quarterback, but because I think it was Lane Kiffin who might have helped recruit.
Sure.
Tua there, and Tua was a whole because he's from Hawaii, so he's a totally different type of quarterback than what Nate Saban's ever had before. So when he came in that second half of the national title game and was airing it out, that just entered, you know, Nick Saban had to get off the he had to get out of that whole get off my line mentality and change with things. So the next year, you know, he was like, he was airing it out. Like, Tua could have broken tons of record, but it was games where he was literally out at half or the third quarter. He didn't play until the fourth quarter. I mean, and to where it hurt his Heisman chances. And then by the time he did play in the fourth quarter, I think he ended up getting hurt. But, you know, but I mean, he was putting Alabama so far ahead in the ball games that it was like you pull him out because you didn't want him to get hurt then, you know. And so, and that changed. So I think Tua, I think the emergence of Tua there had a shift in the type of quarterback. Now, granted, you look at
Mac Jones was kind of the same thing too.
I was going to go back there and say Mac Jones was kind of more of the but Mac Jones was like third string because he was after Tua and Jalen Hurts, and then Hurts left and he moved up, but then once he got hurt, then he's there. But you know, but he was that conventional quarterback to where he could run, but he could also throw. But again, when you got four first round draft picks, it's kind of hard to not, you know, not be successful. And then the kid that they got in now, Bryce Young, I mean, he was, I think he was one of the top quarterbacks as well. So I mean, and you see how they've opened up. They got a big, I mean, well, one, you've got, you know, you got the guy that we both hate from Houston as the offensive play caller.
Oh, Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien. So now he's bringing his NFL style offense to this kid down here. So I mean, so if you're a high school quarterback that wants to play in the NFL, I'm looking, now this is me, I'm looking at a school that either runs their pro style, whether it's Stanford, USC, obviously Oklahoma, but also schools that have that NFL offensive coordinator that, you know, like Alabama.
Just to me, though, and this is why I think Mizzou has done a good job. They've run this NFL-style offense. And say what you will about this insuccess of the quarterbacks that have made it to the NFL, but when you have four guys in recent memory, Brad Smith, Blaine Gabbert, Chase Daniel, Drew Locke, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what Oklahoma's done. They've gotten guys who run a pro-style offense, who airs it out. They don't run the ball a ton in Oklahoma like compared to Alabama. Compared to Georgia.
That's the days of Adrian Peterson.
Well, even Georgia is based and predicated on defense and running the football. So if you're a number one quarterback, you might take a look at a chance where you're going to be able to show what you got. You're not throwing slants. You're not checking down nonstop because that's what the offense and the coordinator and the head coach is calling for. That's why Trevor Lawrence was so good in Clemson. Look at Clemson this year. Trevor Lawrence kind of shows he was a big difference maker down there.
Well, Deshaun Watson, too.
Deshaun Watson, though. I'm saying, look at Clemson now. They're not even ranked.
Yeah. But, again, that comes with recruiting, too. I mean, because they get they actually do get top-quality quarterbacks, but once you set on one, and especially if they're a freshman or sophomore, they're going to be there for a couple of years, and it's like, you're not going to get a chance to play. I mean, because if you remember Justin Fields was battling with Jake Fromm when he was a true freshman, but Jake Fromm was an upperclassman. They decided to stick with Fromm. He transferred to Ohio State. Now you see who's successful in the NFL. So
I want to talk, switching gears, a little NBA with you. Last night was opening night for the NBA.
Dude, I was so tired, man. I went to the gym right after the show and got home in time for tip-off and sat on the couch. And, it was a struggle for me to get through both games. Like, not that it wasn't good, because I thought for the most part it was. It was just like trying to get myself, my body, my mind right back that the NBA season has started. And so,
which one do you want to start with?
We can start with whatever, man.
Let's start with the Lakers game. Let's start with the nightcap. Lakers and Golden State.
The Lakers came with parlay, so.
And this is what I said when they traded for Russ or got Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but
they have no shooting.
No.
It's a disaster.
But what I'm saying is, remember, I had Golden State at 3.5, so I had them winning or at least losing, but they won, so that worked in my favor. But I had the under, so that's what killed me.
I'm not saying you.
Oh, okay, because
we did discuss this. We talked about it.
Yeah. So
I'm saying
as far as the season outlook, you were very high when they drafted Russell Westbrook.
Well, when they got Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, you were very high on that. And I said, it's not going to work out. This is one game. I get it. This could be a complete overreaction. He was horrendous in this game. 4 of 13. 4 assists. 5 boards.
Agreed.
4 turnovers.
Agreed.
Westbrook, I mean, he does not do anything for his offense because he is just a somewhat smaller version of LeBron. He needs the ball in his hands. He's not a shooter. Doesn't spread the floor. Malik Monk makes more sense in the starting lineup than Westbrook at this point.
Kyle Kuzma made a lot of, I mean, he mentioned before, I think it might have been after he was traded, that the deal was done for him to be in Sacramento for them to get Buddy Hield. And LeBron and them, I think, nixed it.
That would have been a much better trade.
They did talk about that today on I think, Undisputed, which I agree, man. Looking at all the Hall of Famers and stuff and potential Hall of Famers on the team, that's one thing. But, you know, LeBron is all, you know, the people, and I don't know, maybe it's just me because you always hear, you know, the Stephen A's and the Shannons and all them talk about how LeBron needs a shooter, but I've never heard LeBron, quote unquote, say that. And because you would think that, okay, you do have a high basketball IQ, I'm not going to question that, but if you know that you could get a guy who can help spread the floor and can drill them outside shots, Buddy Hield, for all A. I did a parlay. We'll talk about this during the break. Did a parlay. I got Buddy Hield hitting, knocking down 4 3-pointers tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I think Buddy
Hield. They only had him for 3. I was like, no, I'm going for 4.
Just to me, Buddy Hield makes a lot of sense on this offense, on this team. Russell Westbrook. Because I like Westbrook. I don't want to, like, say he's not a Hall of Famer. He's not a great player. I like Westbrook.
No, you're just saying he's just not a good fit.
It's just a fact. Yeah, I mean, I love his hustle. I love his energy.
Yeah.
But he is, at this point in his career especially, he's the type of guy who is a lead guy on a bad team. That's why he was good with when kind of OKC when Durant left or when he went to Washington and when Bradley Beal was hurt. He's fun to watch. He's entertaining. I just don't see how the Lakers thought this was going to play out because this is how everyone, except for delusional Lakers fans, thought that this was going to work.
I don't know, but you know what I just realized? I am going to be doggone it, and they're going to be out of town. I was sitting there looking at when I'm in L.A. for the Chiefs-Chargers game in December. They're out of town. They're in Texas. They're in Dallas for the Mavericks on the 15th and Minnesota for the Timberwolves on the 17th. I can't believe this.
Were you impressed with Golden State and the resiliency? Because the fact is, Steph didn't shoot great.
He didn't shoot well.
Steph was 5 of 21.
Dude.
He had a triple-double, but 5 of 21.
Steph made me mad because he cost me money just by not getting his regular scores. Like, I had him for like 36 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. And
a triple-double.
And hold on. And for them to win, it would have gave me, I think, like $5 or $2.50 would have gave me like $174. Like, come on, Steph. But, yeah, the fact that he did not – he had a triple-double but didn't play or didn't shoot effectively well, and they had 6 players in double figures, and they were able to get the – they were able to spread the ball around. And for a team that had as much height as the Lakers had, you know, I can't remember if they were out-rebounded or not, but they did a very good job in that ball game. And so, no, they, you know – It was to me, it was worth it, man. I mean,
they out rebounded the Lakers by 5.
So that's, you know, so yeah, so they did good. They did good. They did it without Klay Thompson. I don't know when does he do back.
Man, you and I were talking this post show yesterday. I don't know. I have no idea. I kind of was expecting Klay to be ready for the start of the season.
I was too,
and he's not. But Andrew Wiggins was solid.
What I tell you about Looney?
Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole was great.
Jordan Poole was really solid in this game. Their bench was great. Blinka was great. They look solid. Otto Porter Jr. is going to get a few minutes here and there. He knocked down a three.
See, and I talked to you. I said I had Jordan Poole for 19. Oh, that's 18. Like, oh, that's 20. He had 20.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, the three-point shooting. Tell you somebody who, if you and I would have had down for, you know, doing three-point shooting, we probably could have did very well, and that would have been Patty Mills. 7 of 7 last night in that first game against Milwaukee. I mean, he was one of the main reasons that kept him in the ball game. And but I guess I don't know if you want to talk about that game now.
Let's go switch over because the Bucks blew out the Nets, 127-104. The Bucks win and the under was a lock. Am I right, Darren?
Yeah.
Let's go, baby. See, I sometimes have good. Malik Monk was the reason why the whole thing, because I did separate ones. I don't do crazy parlays, so I still won.
It was two games.
Yeah, but doing separate. That's why I still won money yesterday.
Okay. Well, I still got
Malik Monk's final three in the with 7 seconds left in the game was the over killer. That's what it was. But the Bucks, man, do they look good.
They look real good, man. And here's what's crazy. Everybody is swearing up and down that the Nets are going to win. Now, perhaps if they got Kyrie Irving and he gets a shot and everything works out. But, man, I don't know, man. I mean, Milwaukee, and Shannon Sharpe said this today, which I agree, which, you know, I've said before about the Chiefs, whatever. No, it's what I said about the Bucks. When you win a world title, you feel like you've cracked the code. You feel like you kneel in the Matrix. Like, you know what it takes to win now, and that winning helps, you know, helps you when things may be going against you and you can rely on something. That's why I always felt like it could still be Chiefs Bucks in the Super Bowl, because I think with the Chiefs, they've been there last year, so I think they have the requisite experience and they know what it takes to win when it's playoff time. The Bucks, because they're led by Tom Brady and they just had the taste of success, they know more so what it's like to win versus anyone else in that conference, whatever. So I think Giannis had an easy 32-14 last night, man.
32-14-7, couple blocks. I mean, Giannis, I think the biggest takeaway is 7 of 9 from the free throw line. If he continues to do that, you're going to be – if he could go 7 of 9 from the free throw line every night, they may not lose a game. Well, they will obviously lose. But just based on if he can get that jump shot and get his free points at the line – the Bucks are going to be, I think, the best team in the East by far.
I got no arguments with that at all. I mean, seeing the way they played, and look, if Kevin Durant is not hitting and he didn't start hitting until the second half, the problem with them is going to be they're going to get beat on the glass night in and night out. And if you can't rebound, especially if you're not knocking down shots, I mean, Harden can rebound, but do you really want your point guard going down there battling? I mean, because he can do it. He did it. I mean, he's done it. So it's not like it's out of the question or out of the realm of possibility. But that's something that you don't want to see. And so they need help on the inside.
Yeah, they don't really have a traditional center. They have Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, who's washed, Nick Claxton, who's fine. He's a guy. And then on the bench, you have Paul Millsap, an undersized power forward.
Yeah.
You have James Johnson, an undersized power forward. You have LaMarcus Aldridge, who's a power forward, who's also, I would say, probably at this point, washed up. I like LaMarcus Aldridge. I think he's maybe getting back into the swing of things after his heart issue. You know, he had to take some time off, so maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But when you look at their lineup, they don't have a traditional center. You're right. Yeah. They're going to get beat on the glass game in and game out.
No, I mean, I agree. And so, but, you know, we'll see how the season plays and how it unfolds. The question would be is, if you were a fan watching, especially watching the halftime stuff, you heard what Charles Barkley said about Kyrie Irving not getting a vaccination shot, stuff like that.
I didn't hear that.
Well, it's all over the place. But basically, he said that, you know, the vaccination is not for you, idiot. It's for other people, you know, and so keeping folks safe. And plus, he's still upset, you know, Barkley upset that he's still going to get paid like $17 million from the Nets because they're still going to pay him for the road games. He's like, you know, don't compare yourself to Muhammad Ali, because Muhammad Ali went to prison or at least sat out for 3 seasons, you know, 3 years at the height of his career where he was a highest paid athlete and didn't get paid or whatever because he didn't want to go fight in the Vietnam War. And you know, you're still going to get paid $17 million. Basically, if all these people who were coming after Kyrie, and we saw how they look without him, everybody feels that you got all three together, they'll win a title. I, you know, it's hard for me to say that because I can't see him staying healthy. That's my, you know, if you're healthy, okay, hey, all bets are off. But if you're not healthy, I can't rock with you. And so I guess my question to you would be after what he saw last night, do you think would that be enough to get him to go get vaccinated, or do you think he's going to be stuck in his way?
No, I think he's stuck in his way. And say what you will about him, but he's a guy who firmly believes in his convictions, obviously, right? And, you know how Wiggins said when he finally got vaccinated, Wiggins came out and said basically he cracked and that, you know, the money was kind of the reason why he did it. He wanted to work. He wanted to make money. Kyrie is one of those guys, I think that he is so strong in his convictions, I don't see him doing that. I think he's firmly on his side. And until he believes about the other side, I think he's not getting vaccinated.
I don't think he's going to get vaccinated. I just think he's really just holding his ground because his back is up against the wall, and he can't really figure out a way out without him looking like a hypocrite. But I do think at the end of the day, I think he is going to get vaccinated.
When do you think that happens?
It'll happen before Christmas, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, that was going to be the bet for you. I was going to say before or after.
Nope, before Christmas.
All right. Darren thinks Kyrie gets vaccinated before
what
Christmas.
What are we betting?
I don't know. I don't.
We'll just do vending machine because.
I don't. Am I on the opposite side now?
Huh?
I guess I'll take the opposite side. I didn't even get a chance to.
Well, I mean, you was going to try to make the bet with me. I just beat you to it. All right. Now you got December 26th on.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. Yep. Come back, talk some NFL. Whitney Mercilus is signing with a team. Find out who it is on the other side of the break. Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City.
Hi, Ollie Gates here. The Gates family would like to say thank you for allowing us to serve you for 75 years, a milestone which would not have been possible without your support. Thanks again, and remember, whatever the case may be, keep the faith.
Check it. You have two options. You can eat it or throw it away.
Come on, Darren. It's a good one.
No, I just wasn't expecting that eat it part. It just threw me off.
Get you a little bit?
Yeah, God.
I don't get a input these into the system, okay?
Did you hit Lebo with that one I told you to the other day? Did you hit him with that?
I hit him with a TLC creep. I didn't hit him with what was Bone Crusher.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Well, save. I should be back.
It's still in here. I still got it.
Yeah, make sure you hit him with that when I'm on there.
See, I know he's not going to get it.
That's the whole. That's,
and I got to wait until you're here because that's the best part.
Yeah, that's the brilliance because.
I can't play if you're not here.
Well, and what's going to be crazy is if he actually does get it.
I wouldn't be shocked if he got it, but I.
I'd be shocked because he is a human Shazam.
I'd be like. 25% chance he gets it right. Like, I'm not shocked, but I'm also like, that's
I'm gonna
good
give him a 15% chance, but 15%. You know, but I would want to know where he was at when he you know realized who it was, or he knew who it was. Like, where were you at? What club were you at? So.
Whitney Mercilus signing with the Green Bay Packers, released by Houston. A lot of people in Kansas City wanted him here. Kansas City obviously needs to bolster that pass rush. This could have been a veteran guy they bring in that could have done that, but signing with the Packers, reports are he had more money elsewhere but chose the Packers. Didn't list the teams.
Heard it was the Chiefs, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh.
But the reports were that he had offers of more money elsewhere but decided to go to Green Bay. A little surprising?
Perhaps. Maybe he wanted a chance to be in the NFC. That's a really a good question. I don't know. I mean, maybe playing with Aaron Rodgers means more to him. Maybe he feel like he can do something with that. Oh, I think because they run like a 3-4 defense. So I think that might have been more his style than anyone else.
I think part has to be playing time. I wonder if Green Bay said, hey, you're going to play a lot more snaps here. Maybe Kansas City said, you know, we got Frank Clark. Take it as you will. Chris Jones maybe is going to be staying on the outside. Michael Dana's been pretty solid, so maybe there's just less snaps. Whatever we think doesn't matter at the end of the day, because it's going to come down to what Andy Reid and Spags and that defense thinks. So even though we would like to kick Chris Jones back inside, even though we would like to see Michael Dana play more and maybe Frank Clark play a little less, the Chiefs obviously have a game plan.
That $20 million contract, that's funny.
I'm just saying, I think they have a game plan. They're going to stick to it. I would probably say playing time probably had a pretty big impact on where Whitney Mercilus was going to sign.
Yeah, but I mean, he did do right by at least trying to go to a Super Bowl contender. So, I mean, I'm not going to poo-poo his decision. I mean, it's for him to go to Green Bay, that probably is probably a good move for him. I mean, Chief defense, at least you would think with his addition, it can't do anything but help. Plus, he may not want to see Derrick Henry. So, I could definitely understand that.
So, according to the Packers and their injury report, Za'Darius Smith underwent back surgery after the opening game, and he's out indefinitely. Preston Smith, he had an oblique injury, so he was out. And then Chauncey Rivers, their other outside linebacker, had season-ending knee surgery earlier this month. So that had to have played a big part. He's probably going to get a ton of snaps, and that had to be the reason why. Because if you're offered more money, probably similar chance, or you're saying they're same tier of playoff contention or Super Bowl aspirations. That was a big issue for him. He wanted to play more in Houston. Houston was going with the youth movement / tanking. I'm sure Mercilus still thinks he has stuff left in the tank and wants to prove that he...
Well, I mean, one, he's already proven because he was leading the team in sacks. And then also, the fact that you turned out more money to sign when you signed means that other teams obviously felt that you had the potential to add to their 53-man roster. Even though we do poo-poo him from time to time, it is good to see that Brett Veach is out there trying to make moves regardless of whether or not he's successful or not. But I do think that it is good to see that Brett Veach is trying to improve the defense. It's like he tried to improve the offense with the addition of Josh Gordon to the team. So,
just NFL news, Baker Mayfield will not start Thursday.
I didn't really expect that.
Case Keenum. So
do I go with Case? Do you still think they win that game?
OBJ is also questionable. Jarvis Landry is supposed to be back. D'Ernest Johnson will be the starting running back for the Browns. I'm still going to go with Cleveland, even without Kareem Hunt, even without Nick Chubb, even without Baker Mayfield, even maybe without OBJ.
Dude,
that's still a better team.
And here's what's crazy, man. It's like, if I were to bet $500 straight up for Denver to win that game, which I do think Denver's going
to
win.
Well, that's a lot of money to bet on a team like Denver.
Yeah, but they're solid defensively, and they're going to have two new tackles playing in that ball game.
Sure.
And Von Miller's like, he's going to eat. And so I just
who's favored in this game at this point?
I think Cleveland is still favored.
It may not have updated since.
No, this is updated. I mean, it's still -2 for Cleveland. I mean, and it could also just be home field advantage.
-200 for Cleveland?
No, -2.
Okay, 120.
No, so money line is -125.
Okay.
But I'm sorry, that's the point spread out, so that's why I said -2. Broncos are 2-point underdogs. Man,
I just don't believe in the Broncos at all. I don't. You know that. I don't believe in Teddy Bridgewater, and he's...
I'm not gonna lie, man. I mean, there's a lot of games this weekend to where, if I wanted to like just bet big on one particular game, it's hard for me to really feel like I'd win some money because it's. I mean, the only thing that I could probably say that would give me a good chance if I wanted to like just bet the house and try to see if I can make some money, but even then, I would be able to like if I bet $600 on the Packers money line. I'd only win $146 off it, which, I mean, it's fine.
You know how pissed you would be If they lost, we wouldn't see you for a week.
Actually, honey, hey, I'm going to tell you something. This lets you know how much self-control I got. Because I started to go $700 money line on Buffalo to win Monday night. You know, I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so glad I didn't. That would have been ugly. Now, see, look, here's a game, Atlanta Falcons, Miami Dolphins. It's such an ugly game.
Atlanta, baby.
Yeah, but Miami flew around and win this game.
No, they're not.
Well, but see, you expected them to beat Jacksonville, and I had Jacksonville in that game.
Sure, it was a horrible game. Actually, it was interesting, but just horrible. It was poor plays. It was close.
Now, here's the thing. Now, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, -250. If I bet 500 on them to win, straight out, I'd win 200. Now, that might be worth it. But knowing the Chiefs, they'll catch that L. And I could easily see this game going down to the wire, too. So, if it went down to the wire, what's this? That's +5.5, man. I don't know. Chiefs had to get up early.
I'm surprised the Chiefs are that big of money line favorites because that is – I mean,
the spread is 5.5.
No, I get that, but the money line, 250, that's – again, Darren, you know what I'll say to you? 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Know what would really look good right now? If I would have bet money on the Houston Texans to knock off the Arizona Cardinals. I would never do it, but still, that'll be the first loss, and I'll be kicking myself in the foot, like +920.
You're gonna kick yourself in the foot, like one foot's gonna kick the other foot.
I don't know. Let me see. I might literally bet $1 for Houston to win, so I can win $9.20.
Why wouldn't you? You'd be silly. You'd be silly not to, Darren.
I could do $10 and win $92.
See, look, you could do $100 and win $920.
I could.
Why not put $1,000 down? Win $9,000. Okay. Was that where you drew the line?
I had to draw the line somewhere. Okay.
Baker Mayfield basically is taking himself out of Thursday night's game. He said it was up to him to make the final decision.
Baker said yesterday he was the one that was going to be starting. He's like, I'll make that decision. Man, shut up, fool. The doctor's is.
Well, the doctor said no. His personal doctor said no. But he still said he was going to be the final one to make the decision. He goes, I thought I was going to hamper the team. I'll give Baker Mayfield credit because he was trying to everything he can to play through a torn labrum in his left shoulder. If he said he's going to hamper the team, you know how hard that is to admit that? That's saying, you know what? I don't give this team the best chance to win. That for a first overall draft pick, starting quarterback on a playoff
Baker
team.
He just didn't want to get ate up by the media because, you know, you can talk about maybe his arm, the shoulder tear, whatever. But he's also just not playing well. And so you have to decide, is it really Baker not playing well or Baker's injury? And if he's playing while he's injured, he's still hampering the team from being successful as it is. Now, that defense hasn't played all that great, you know, and the fact that your running backs are getting hurt left and right didn't really pose well for the team's success right now. So a lot of people have Baker Mayfield and this team in the Super Bowl. I wasn't one of them. I think it might have been Jeff Chidi or somebody, but definitely wasn't me. So
I have to say something very funny. I just saw this headline, and this is absolutely spot on for you and your brand.
Huh?
NFL launches responsible betting awareness campaign.
Yeah, I saw that. I got the email earlier.
Directly to your email account?
Yeah, I get all the emails, and I just hit delete.
You're the reason why they need to send this to your direct email multiple times. It's not spam.
I don't have time for that foolishness.
Come on, Darren. NFL launching responsible betting awareness campaign.
Does it look like I need help?
I mean, do you want me to be truthful or?
I don't want you to lie to me.
I mean, what would Lebo say?
Lebo wouldn't say anything. Lebo would support my decision.
Man, Lebo's on my side.
No, Lebo would support me. Lebo would just tell me, don't over-leverage.
Is that what it is?
Same as in day trading.
Don't over-leverage.
Don't over-leverage.
I would say something, but you just hit your one big bet of the year. You're good for one a year.
Three bits.
Nah, well, you're good for one day a year. You had your day.
No, cause
I can't trash talk you now.
No, because don't forget, I had to do an NCAA championships too, remember?
That was last year.
That was this year.
It was last year.
It was this year. Sterling, the NCAA. Yeah.
April.
Gosh, dude, you are just.
I'm just looking out for you, Darren.
How are you looking out for me?
It's only $10, Sterling.
Hey,
I've done 37 of these.
It's either that or eat junk food or waste some money at the casino where you could potentially lose more.
So put all that money on Houston, and if they hit, you're good.
Nah, just because I'm a gambler. I mean, I'm a piss poor, just give money away type gambling. You know,
it's charity. Those casinos and banks, they need your money, Darren. They need you.
Yeah,
they
get my money.
We'll take a quick break. Come back, see if I can get Darren to throw some money down on the Houston Texans game. We'll talk more NFL when we come back.
Look,
Darren and Sterling here, ESPN, Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN, Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Darren made a 10-leg parlay in that break, not even kidding. All right, Darren, little NFL to end the day. The Chiefs have turned the ball over an alarming number of times to start this season. Is this trend going to continue? Is this one of those years where, you know how sometimes they always said, you know, Patrick Mahomes would get away with balls that could have been intercepted, and he has for the past couple of seasons. Are they all just piling up this one year? All the bad luck, all the previous drops, all that stuff is just piling up? Or do you think it's going to even back out and he'll right the turnover ship?
No, I think this is a sign of things to come. I asked Patrick in the presser today that, because we had the same conversation. I asked you the same question. After the Baltimore game where it was third down, you could have just thrown the ball away or just take the sack. You threw the ball up in the air and they intercepted, and that was, you know, kind of changed the ball game. Same thing happened in that first half. I mean, it changed the ball game as it relates to the first half. But he's I just think he'll find himself pressing too much, because they're going to be in a dogfight all year long. I mean, every team is going to bring their best, you know, and they're going to bring their best foot forward. And so he's going to be in these type ball games, these type matchups where he has to play perfect. Otherwise, the team, you know, won't get that same success.
Against Tennessee, you and I somewhat differ here. You tend to like Kansas City winning the coin toss.
No. I mean,
receiving the ball.
No, I would. I don't like every time they elect to defer. I don't have a problem with them deferring per se. If the other team gets it, then they might want to, you know. But the Chiefs, it's hard for me to be accepting of it, because it puts so much pressure on the defense. Now, if the defense can make a stand early on, cool. But if the defense makes a stand, and then the offense get on the field and they go three and out, well, damn. I mean, what was the whole point of that?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a matter of, because the defense has been so bad, that to me it's always like you're putting your offense at a deficit, because I always feel like they're going to be coming from behind.
If there's ever an offense that can do that, this Chiefs offense can.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'd rather for the Chiefs to be ahead, for example, Sunday.
Yeah.
Why would you want Tennessee to have the ball first? Because if they have the ball first, they're going to run Derrick Henry down your throat. And if they score a touchdown, they'll be ahead, versus you scoring first, forcing them out of their run game.
Well, that was my main question, was typically I'm always team defer second half, because I think there's so much opportunity for back-to-back scores. There's so much opportunity for, if you're down three, you're down seven, well, you know what? You're not happy with the ball. The other team doesn't have a chance to go up double digits or tack on. But this game, I might say, if Kansas City wins the toss, I would like to see them take the ball, because that reason exactly. If they can get up early and make Tennessee throw the ball, don't let Derrick Henry go up against this porous rush defense, I think Kansas City will hammer Tennessee.
Yeah, that was the one question I wish I'd have asked Patrick or Andy today, was about do they feel like they'll need to put pressure on the offense to score to get, you know, to keep them from running the football? Because they already know what Derrick Henry did last time, 188, two touchdowns. Let's not forget that happened in Nashville, not at Arrowhead.
Hey, last game, though, 69 yards.
But that wasn't at Arrowhead. That was at Arrowhead. This ain't at Arrowhead.
I'm just going to say, I think the Chiefs really need to watch out for play action, too. A.J. Brown, Ryan Tannehill, that play action connection is phenomenal. So if you're the cornerbacks, Rashad Fenton, Legarius Sneed, if you're their secondary, as far as Tyrann Mathieu, Juan Thornhill, they can't bite and go for it every single time. They're going to have to watch out for play action. We'll talk all this and more coming up this week. Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. We'll be back tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m. We are out.